Balzer and Bray and Harper Audio present Strange Creatures by Phoebe North. Performed by Jesse Valinsky, Shiromi Arserio, and Mark Sanderlin. I couldn't decide whose book this was. And then I realized I wrote it for the girl I never was, the boy I almost wasn't, and the person who survived them both. I dedicate this book to myself. Does that seem bold to you? Vain? Do you wish I'd given it to you instead? Fine, here, take it. I wrote it for you too. To show you that if you live through this, then someday you can tell the story you'd hoped your whole life to find every time you turned a page. Bring it to me then, so I might tuck myself in with your book. Yours. My story's been told. I'm done with it. But the world can always use more books that are honest, strange, and true. I knew he was in danger because he was both the egg and the one who cracked it. Jessica Fisher. Epilogue. Every morning, Anit woke at dawn, while the two moons were still low against the horizon. Alone, she built her fire from the wood she'd gathered the evening before. Alone, she ate her meager breakfast, scraped her plates clean, dressed. There had been a time when she'd worn steel, a time when twin swords had dangled from her leather belt. If her men had doubted she had the strength to don her surcoat and arms, they never mentioned it. "Speak ill of the Imperata," they whispered to one another, "and she'll cut off your tongue." She had never cut off a man's tongue. That had been petty gossip. But she'd cut off other things. Now, no more armor. No more swords. The only weapon she carried was a small stone she'd found the evening before in the creek bed out back, tucked now into her pocket. The only armor she wore? An old tunic, secondhand and patched. A pair of men's trousers she'd found in someone's trash bin, and her old familiar dragon scale boots. They were her only finery, and they'd been a gift from her brother. A long, long time ago. She walked through the village, as she did every day. Today she was alone again, as usual. Until she wasn't. A small boy walked quietly beside her. The boy's hair was a disaster of black snarls. He kept his eyes down as he walked, although on occasion his gaze would dart up to ascertain that the old woman hadn't gone far. But in fact, the old woman kept pace with the child, matching stride to barefoot stride.
"I shouldn't take you past the village edge,"
the old woman said at last, as they neared the squalid row of mud and thatch houses at the end.
"Your mother wouldn't like it."
Anit had been here for 15 years at least. She knew every face, had lived here long enough to see some of the babies grow up to have babies of their own. She'd even made a friend or two, like Ija, the silversmith's only son, who occasionally traded her a spell for a cook pot or a spoon or some other useful trinket. But she didn't recognize the wide set of this boy's eyes, or the growl that graced his lips when he replied, "You ain't taking me anywhere. I take myself." The corner of the old woman's mouth quirked upward in a smile.
"You do," she agreed. "Can't argue that."
And so, Anit began to climb a zigzag path up the side of the mountain, and as she went, she let the boy follow behind. Had she ever been so young, so determined? Must have been once. Her body bore the scars of it. But now she had only shadows of feelings, and none of them mattered. Now she lived a quiet life, a life without hurt or insult. There was no crying, but there was no hot passion either. And once, she had lived a life
Sample complete. Ready to continue?